Well, President Cyril Ramaphosa will address the nation at 8 o'clock this evening, just as the Money Show finishes. Thank you, Mr. President, for not getting in the way of the Money Show. And he'll talk to us about developments in the country's response to COVID-19. Lots of speculation as to the actions he will announce. It's pointless speculating, although it does seem likely. I just said it's pointless speculating. Now I'm speculating. I apologize. But yeah, there will be restrictions on liquor sales. I think that's inevitable. I'm not sure of a wholesale ban, but I'm sure that there will be some restrictions. Tighter curfews, smaller gatherings. Best to watch at 8 p.m. to find out, though. What we hope has been learned is the importance of striking some kind of balance between keeping economic activity as elevated as possible while ensuring action against people spreading the virus amongst themselves. And we've seen time and time again, not only here but in other parts of the world, as lockdowns are implemented, it does slow and eventually stem the spread of the virus. It's a fact. The economy just recovering, and it would be monumentally foolish to disrupt that economy more than that recovery of the economy more than necessary. Rashad Kassim is the deputy governor at the South African Reserve Bank. Rashad, welcome to the Money Show. 9 months ago, we were told that the economy would be returning to 2019 levels at best by 2024, but you are revising that forecast.
Evening, Bruce. Well, as you know, we revised our 2020 forecast from minus 8.5 to minus 7, and we think that next year or this year 2021 will be around 4.2% and 2022 around 2.3%. When I say around, there's big margins of error,
of course,
around these forecasts. So I guess if you do the maths and you say you had minus 7 in 2020. You have 4.2. It's only really towards the end of 2022 that you had pre-COVID levels. Now, that forecast was based on all the current information we have. We made some assumptions about the fact that there will be some setbacks as the economy recovers. There's uncertainty around the vaccines. So at this stage, this is the best forecast we have. Naturally, what information we don't have is the extent of the lockdown and whether there will be a lockdown that's more severe. Obviously, if that happens, one will have to revisit the forecast of the economy.
And that's the great difficulty with forecasting. Of course it is. But, you are saying that as things stand at the moment, or as they did yesterday, probably the end of 2022, the economy gets back to the sort of levels of 2019, which is a considerably better forecast than 6 months ago, 9 months ago, and certainly 12 months ago. But yes, the third wave is here. You refer to that. The president, I think, will want to strike some kind of balance. I think we've learned quite a lot on how to better navigate the economy through surges in outbreaks. At least I hope we have.
Yeah. Look, I obviously cannot speculate about the president's speech. All I can say is that we have, we've had a series of important policy measures. We took this, massive cut in the interest rates, 300 basis points, give or take. And those effects will be seen now. You don't cut the interest rate and see a sudden impact of the interest rate on the economy. It takes 12 to 18 months. So I think that notwithstanding the uncertainty around the COVID and whether there will be a severe or less severe lockdown, some of these stimulus measures are kicking in. They soften the blow, and we've been surprised at how some sectors have come up nicely, but as you say, that we are in this domain of uncertainty. But I think the combination of the fact that there's been some recovery, there's been some pent-up demand, people have been saving, feeling more confident to sell that money, the combination of some of the stimulus measures is making the economy respond to a slightly softer lending than would have been otherwise the case in the absence of any significant intervention by the SARB and the fiscus and so on.
Yeah, the reality is, though, that so much of the recovery that we're seeing in this faster-than-expected recovery, which is very, very good news, is being driven by factors, you know, some domestic factors, some of it helped by the fact that interest rates are low and there's some action in the property market and others. But a lot of what this recovery is happening due to factors beyond our control, and that is surging commodity prices, a recovery in the currency as a result of the trade balance being affected positively by a collapse in imports and a growth in exports of hard commodities. That's not the structural reform that the governor keeps referring to us needing to make this recovery sustainable and to accelerate it, to do what recoveries need to do, which is to create jobs and provide some hope for the future.
Yeah, look, the terms of trade or the commodity boom is really an important gift that we've got. I mean, it would have made this, you know, it'd been far more difficult to recover had it not been for what happening in the commodities market. So I think that certainly that's a very important part of the recovery. But as you rightly say, you know, that referring to the governor, that at the end of the day, you can go only so far in trying to stimulate the economy with macroeconomic policies, that at the end of the day, it's kind of the certainty of the structure of the economy, the certainty that you get for investments that ultimately will take the economy to a different level. The monetary policy is important. It provides temporary relief, but can only go so far. At some stage, runs out of steam if investors have no confidence in the economy.
Yeah, but a big announcement by the president last week, and the president announcing that 100 megawatt allowance for large companies, for example, to produce their own energy as to give Eskom the breathing room it needs to recover base load. That's a huge uplift for the South African economy. What we all want to see now is that, of course, being put into action, and that action will lead to real fixed investment in this economy. And it's those sorts of real shape-shifting announcements, I think, that are enormous. And you talk about in your statement, you were at a Nedbank gathering, I think it was, where you're expecting some permanent restructuring of the economy. What does that permanent restructuring of the economy mean?
Well, something like the shock of COVID-19 means that not only is this shock a temporary shock, that it is changing the preferences of consumers, it's changing the behavior of consumers. There are some sectors in the economy that are going to lose terribly, you know, in the tourism sector that may, you know, there have been firms that may have closed down. But there are other sectors that are IT intensive, the way work is being done, that are gaining in the economy. So I think that what we mean by scarring is that, you know, to use a very loaded jargon, there's a reallocation of capital in the economy, that capital will be going to firms who have creatively been able to work around COVID-19, because it's kind of long-lasting. It will have an impact on ways of work and so on. So I think that's really the idea. Not that, you know, not that we'll see tourism decline forever. There'll be a massive comeback, no doubt. But it is true that, you know, that as some industries close down, others will be opening up, and we've got to assess, you know, where exactly do we think the economy will go, what the changing composition of the economy will look like as a result of this, you know, really fundamental experience we've had in the form of a pandemic.
So far, so good for the bond market. Despite nosediving into junk status, it's cheaper to borrow today for government than a year ago. I'm sure you have a concern there that won't last unless we get the fundamental structural reform. Asset prices have rocketed in the second half of last year and into this one. South African investors benefiting far more than we anticipated they would. There's just so much going right. It would be such a shame to lose momentum. How worried are you that we do lose momentum through policy inaction?
Yeah, look, I think that, as you rightly say, that there's lots happening that's positive. We also somewhat lucky that some of our competitors that we look at, who kind of look at investments in markets similar to South Africa, have equally severe or more severe problems than we have. So investors kind of look at, you know, what the best options are. But I do think that this is a launch pad for kind of sustaining some of the positive mood. I think that we, as certainly as the central bank, will continue to watch the markets to ensure that, you know, we provide the right stimulus or the right kind of interventions. If the market becomes dysfunctional, we continue to kind of provide the appropriate monetary policy stance. That is one part of the story, as many of us know. But, you know, if one takes the president's announcement around power and takes and many of the other positive announcements gather steam, we're able to kind of rein in the debt and so on, it'll be a really good story for this country.
Thank you, Rashad Kassim, Deputy Governor at the South African Reserve Bank.